is a powerful thing. And the truth of Jesus Christ, sometimes it unites people, and sometimes it divides people. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And some people, when they hear that, are inspired and encouraged. As believers, we're lifted up. We're reminded of what's real, what's important, of the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. For the unbeliever, those can be offensive words. I am the way, the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That it's offensive to hear that I don't get to be the one who decides what's right and wrong in my life. I want to be the one that says this is good, this is not good. I want to be the one who makes those decisions. And guys, as we continue on in our series, Encounters with Jesus, we're coming to a scripture, and it's a little bit different. It's not a one-on-one with Jesus, but it's after a situation where Jesus has healed a man who was blind from birth. And after he heals him, the Pharisees have said, and the religious leaders of the day have questioned him and are upset because it was done on the Sabbath. And there's a lot of anger about what's been done, a lot of anger towards Jesus, towards the man, towards his family, a lot of interviews. Who is this man? Who are you? Are you really the guy who got healed? And at the end of this, we come to this interesting section, and rather than focusing on the healing of the blind man, I wanted to focus on what happened afterwards. And so we're starting in John 10, starting in verse 19. The Jews who heard these words were again divided, and many of them said, because of the healing, because of what had been done, many of them had said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And so right here, starting out, as we come to the end of the story of the blind man being healed, and Jesus even spit on the ground and made some dirt and put it on his eyes and gave him some instructions of what to do, Jesus healed the blind man, and it was a real blessing. But the people of the day, some of them received it as a blessing, but others were divided. Others came and they didn't understand, and they were insecure because they didn't know who Jesus was. And the real focus that I want us to look at today is, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? It's a question that's been asked, and the answer to that question will either be discouraging or life-giving. And guys, one of the things that we don't talk about much is, after Christmas and the New Year, right now, this is often a season for unbelievable depression. This is a season when the hopes and for some people it's a new year and we're a couple weeks into the new year weekend and nothing's different. Nothing's changed. For others, the holidays were a reminder of what is lacking in our lives. For some of us, we have great loss, and this is a time and a reminder of a time of and of the situations of that loss. And I really think, you know, so often we talk about the love of God, the grace of God. And you know what? Sometimes in the world, it's just difficult. It's just hard. Sometimes it's hard to work through some things. And so, as we come to the scriptures today, I think it's interesting that we come and we start off this scripture here in verse 22. And the verses between verses 21 and verses 22, there's a few months in between those verses. And so some time has elapsed after the healing of the blind man, and there's still a lot of thoughts and feelings going around. But then it says in verse 22, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathering around him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.'" So here he is, and just imagine these 40-foot high colonnades, these columns that are just magnificent, and it's the winter, and the winter over there does a lot, not a lot of snow, but a lot of raining, kind of like here. But actually, we have snow right now in this spot, especially. But man, those winters with the rain, and here he is, and the feast of dedication is now Hanukkah. And Hanukkah celebrates the purification and the rededication of the temple after its defilement by the Syrian king in 165 BC. And back then, the feast, it looks back in Israel's history when the Maccabee family revolted against Syrian overlords. Against their overlords. And so the Maccabees led this revolt. And after a terrible time, it was because after this terrible time of slaughter and defilement in the temple courts, by offering a pig, which is a meat that's unclean for the Jewish people. And so they offer the pig on the altar of Judah, and Judas Maccabeus and his sons drove out the Syrians, reclaiming the temple for the Lord and dedicated it anew. And so this is this newer celebration and festival that they have. And the events are now celebrated as Hanukkah. And here with all of this happening and all of this going on, the people are coming and they're saying, you know what? The religious leaders, the Jewish people, the Jews who were there gathered around them saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" And then the question, if you're the Messiah, please tell us plainly. Now, Jesus had been saying and telling the truth and telling them about who he was and what he did. And over and over, they see and they hear, but they don't understand. Have you ever told a child something and they didn't get it? And so you had to tell them again. And then you had to tell them again. And then you had to tell them again. And then again. Well, sometimes as children of God, sometimes we're like our own children. Clean your room. Did you clean your room? Yeah. What does that mean when you heard clean your room? What does that? Well, I made my bed. You walk in the room. The covers have been pulled up. The top covers over the rest of the covers. But you had to wade through the stuff in the room to get to the bed to see if it was. Okay, so let's go back. So does this room look clean to you? So these clothes here need to be gone. So then you come back in. Oh, it looks fantastic. You open the closet door. What do you see? All the clothes that were on the floor are in the closet door, right? Oh, my goodness. And sometimes the father needs to tell the child, you know what? Let's go over it again. And so here we go with Jesus going over it again. Jesus answered, "I did tell you. I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Guys, this is a wonderful picture of our spiritual standing with Jesus Christ. Just a beautiful picture. It's about our identity in Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is the one that leads, that guides, and And what a beautiful picture it is of that we are his sheep, and nothing will cause us to perish, and no one will snatch us out of his hand. Guys, and as I was looking through this, I really feel in order to appreciate what Christ is saying here, we need to take a really good look at the background of what every Jewish man and woman and child knew back then, which is from Psalms 23. Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6, the whole psalm. It's a very common psalm. It's a very well-known psalm. Often if people are in the hospital and struggling, holding on at the end of life, this is a psalm that's requested. This is a psalm that's read over and over again. And as we come to it, man, there is beauty. There is hope in these words. So let's take a look at it. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. As there's a first thing in this first section is God provides for us. God provides for us. And there's something in the picture here that as we look at this, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, if you're lying in green pastures, it means you're lying in plenty. You have no need. Your needs are being met. And something that's interesting, my grandfather, he had a lot of sheep. He raised sheep, and he did the wool and the whole thing. And one of the things that every once in a while as you would go out, there'd be, before he would cut the wool, these sheep are just covered. And the wool is so thick on them. And it looks, before it's shaved, as it gets long, they're out in the mud and in the weather, and it gets a little ratty looking. But as they go out, and every once in a while, you'd come across a sheep, and you'd think, not very often, but every once in a while, you'd see, oh no. Go back in, and I remember the first time, Grandpa! One of the sheep, I think it's dead. And he would have, the first time it happened, he said, well, tell me about it. I was like, tell you? It's a dead sheep. What do you mean, tell you about it? He goes, is it lying on its side or is it lying with all fours in the air? I said, well, all fours in the air. He goes, that's not a dead sheep. That's a cast sheep. That's a cast sheep. It's been cast down. And what that means is sheep. One of the things that we don't as people kind of in the city don't know is one of the things with sheep is they need a shepherd for life, not just for getting to the feeding, not just for the protecting, but one of the things that happens with sheep is when they get full of wool and at certain times they can get stuck with their back on their backs with their feet straight up in the air. And they cannot move. And the gases actually change and go in. And it causes a numbness. And so they can't move. And they literally get frozen. And when you turn a sheep over, it takes a lot. You can't just kind of give it a little tip and it's fine and it runs. It takes a long time. So you got to really lean on it and push. And especially those bigger sheep. He had some big sheep, especially when I was a little bit littler than I am now. And then you turn it over, and then you have to massage the legs to get the blood flow back into the legs. And pretty soon, what's going to happen with the sheep? It starts to come around. It's been up for a while, but now it's starting to come to its senses. And now then it's going to get to where now it can move a little bit. And it starts to stagger, and after staggering for a little while, staggering around, it then starts to take off and starts to move and then comes back to normal. God provides for us. And guys, Psalms 42:5 says, "Why are you so cast down?" I love that. Why are you so cast down? Why are you like the sheep that's helpless? Because one of the things is a sheep in that position being cast down is helpless, unable to do for itself what it needs to be done. Why are you so cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed with me? Put your hope in God. I love that. The only place as we as sheep of the good shepherd can find a way out of the junk, and we'll get into that junk in just a minute, is through putting our hope and trust in Christ Jesus, of claiming the truth of who we are, of having our good shepherd come and turn us back. Because guys, even as believers, is there anybody here who's ever gone through life so far and hasn't had a time of discouragement, of depression, of anxiety, of... There are times in life, even for the believer, where it is overwhelming, where you feel alone, where you feel like you've been separated from the flock. And one of the things that happens when we get depressed, when we get discouraged, is we do separate ourselves from the flock. One of the ways I know that I'm not doing well in my walk with the Lord is I start to cave. I start to be less social. And I go off by myself a little bit more. And I know, you know what? Things aren't right in my heart right now. And I've seen it over and over in the church. People will be struggling and they'll just kind of... And our boy, I tell you, we've got a Father who's going out after them and seeking them and going to tip them back over. And then what does that allow the sheep to do? To come back into the flock. To come back in. To come back in. Are you cast down? Are you cast down? Right now, are you cast down? Turn to the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. Turn to the truth of your real identity. Not discouraged, not alone. Those are lies of the enemy. Those are the things that are used by the enemy to try and separate us from the herd and bring us to a place of being alone. And we go away from the flock, and now we're off by ourselves. And when Christ meets us, man, we get back in. We get back in. Turn to the truth of who you are. Turn to the truth of who you are. You belong to the Good Shepherd. You know, the next part of the verse says, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." I love that. God guides us. God guides us. You know, left to ourselves, we all do wander. I have a friend who used to say to me, "You know, Matt, if I'm around other people is when I struggle. So maybe if I just go and live all by myself on a desert island, maybe then I can honor God." And man, talk about wandering. We all tend to wander. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death." There is something inside of us, and you know what it is? We're created in the image of God. We're created to be in right relationship with God. And in this broken world, we don't have that in full. And so there's something in our spirit that is yearning for something more. Guess what? That's God-given. That's a good thing. Because there's so much more to come. So much more. But we are wanderers at heart. As sin comes in, as temptation comes in, we have trouble processing something, maybe through certain relationships that affect us more negatively than others. And something happens and we start to wander. But there's a blessed truth here, which is our good shepherd guides us. That means as you start to wander, if you're looking for the signs of what God is doing in your life, you're going to see him moving. You're going to see him moving. Why? Because as it goes on in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, God protects us. I love my children. I've got good things as a dad. I've got things, sin that I'm working through. I'm broken. I'm a broken vessel. But I love my children. And I desire to protect them. How much more a perfect heavenly Father desires to protect his children. And guys, it says here, even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley was in that culture was a place of danger because it gave robbers and predators opportunities to ambush people. And so as people think of the valleys, they're thinking, you've got to be careful there. Yes, is there more opportunity? Yes, but not only for you, more opportunity for those who are meant to harm you, who are set to harm you. And so the phrase can be literally translated the valley of deep gloom and dense darkness. Think about that. Even though I walk through the valley of deep gloom and dense darkness. That's the literal translation. Guys, there are times where we are in the valley and it is dark and it is deep and we are in depression. Some of the greatest spiritual giants throughout history, including David himself, dealt with those times. So often we think, oh, that's just for those who aren't spiritually mature. That's a lie. That's a lie. The enemy attacks the mature and the weak, the enemy, but also with this desire inside of us to be right with God and this desire to be face to face with God because we're created in his image and the things that are lacking in it and the feeling of there's got to be something more and Martin Luther, there's an interesting story that I read on him. He, great preacher, great man of God. He had some really dark times, and he struggled through a number of different times in his life through depression. And one of the times that he was struggling through it, his wife was so annoyed because it had gone on so long. And so she dressed in her mourning clothes in all black. And she was dressed in all black in her specific outfit that was meant for mourning as someone had died. And she walks right in front of him and she just eyeballs him. And he looks up and he sees her. What's wrong? What happened? And she goes, well, since you're acting as though God is dead, I figured I'd dress appropriately. Guys, it's not about maturity that keeps us out of times of discouragement. There are times things happen in our lives. Things happen to people we love. That can knock the strongest believer for a loop. God hears your heart. He knows what you're going through. He's walking with you. He's protecting you. He's guiding you. No matter how deep and dense and dark and gloomy the valley seems. You don't have to stay there. The good shepherd comes and he takes the cast sheep and he turns it over and he massages the legs and he gets it to stand again. And then he brings it where? Back to the flock. Back into relationship. Back into relationship with the good shepherd and back into relationship with the other sheep. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me. And the word here for follow me means to pursue. Surely goodness and mercy pursue me. I love that. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God delights in us and he loves to lift us up. He loves to take that cast sheep and set it straight up. He loves to get it back where it belongs. He loves to be in right relationship with all his sheep. God delights in us and lifts us up. You know, David had been on the run for a long time and hungry and in need. And the truth is, when he comes to the truth of who he is in his relationship with God, he's not thinking about all the things that he doesn't have. He's amazed at all the blessings that he does. You prepare a table before. This is a man who had nothing to eat. But in Christ, you prepare a table for me. Spiritually, you meet all my needs and then some. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I just had scraps with them. You give me a bounty. You anoint my head with oil. What a thing to do. The blessing. My cup overflows. There's so much joy. It's pouring. Have you ever been around somebody who's just come to the Lord? You know what they can't stop talking about? Jesus. Because it's overflowing. Their head has been anointed. They're a child of God. And now they can't help but share it. Instead of feeling pursued and being overwhelmed, we are pursued by God's kindness and his love and his mercy. I love that. He pursues us with his goodness. That's the background as Jesus is sharing this picture about the shepherd and the sheep. The Jewish people who have learned this, who know this scripture, their minds are going right there. They're being reminded of the good shepherd and how he responds. They're also, they work with animals to show that you're successful. How do you show success? By the amount of cash you have in your pocket? No, by the amount of animals you have in your flock. And so they understand the wording, the picture that's going on. So we end and we'll go back to a couple verses and finish out the end of the John 10. Verses 27 through 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. I love that. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of them out of my hand. And then just to make sure that we get that, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I remember there's one specific time where Julie and I were walking, and we had Thomas in between us. And as we were walking down, Thomas was, he had my hand, and he had Julie's hand. And when he's like this with both hands And it's not that he had our hands, it's that we had his. Because he was little, he was really young. It's like 2-3 years old, and his grip would slip at that age. But in mommy and daddy's hands, and as we're walking, what is he doing? All by himself, he goes like this. He runs and he kicks his feet up and he, woohoo! And we come to, you know, the curb or this or that, and he goes over it and he just kind of flies everywhere. And it was so joyous. And so, and here's this picture of, I and the Father are one. I've got you in my hand. The Father has you in the hand. You're going along. Man, picture it. You're safe. You're safe enough to have joy and pleasure that delights the Father's heart. What a picture that is, guys. Are you anxious, afraid? Are there things in your life right now where you're not sure about how to move forward in? How are you sleeping at night right now? Anybody having trouble sleeping? Anybody waking up? A lot on their brain. A lot of stuff going on. Dealing with anxiety. Dealing with fear. Are you going through a dark valley? Are you cast down? Are you helpless? Are you depressed? Guess what? We're all helpless at times. We are all like sheep. We are all like sheep, and each of us has gone to our own way. But we don't stay outside of the flock. You don't have to stay there any longer. Let the Father come and meet you where you need to be met. He loves you. He knows exactly what you're going through. God knows what it's like to suffer. We worship a God who doesn't look from afar, and he's created and he's blessed, and he knows nothing from intimate experience. He humbled himself. Was born a babe. We just celebrated his birth. He was without sin. And lived for 33 years. And he came for one purpose. That was so that we could be with him in eternity, because our sin had to be dealt with. Because God and sin do not go together. And God loved us so much that he died in my place, in your place. He took our junk upon himself and experience separation from Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect Trinity, in perfect unity, and he was cut off from that for the first time in throughout all of history, all of eternity, for us, so that we could know him and come to him as his children, to a perfect Father. Cry out to the Good Shepherd. One of the sounds that that the sheep makes when it's on his back is a very different sound than it makes when it's standing up. It's a much higher squealing pitch. It's this bleating that is so sharp, and it gets hoarse, and then it can't make the sound, and as it's man, it's a different sound. No matter where you're at, when you call out to God, the Good Shepherd is already with you. And he's waiting for you to ask, I need you. I need help here. And he says, man, here we go. He'll pick you up. Get you back into the flock. He'll love you right where you need to be loved. He'll meet you right there. You don't have to turn yourself over. You don't have to clean yourself off first. He meets you right there. right where you need to be met. You don't have to jump through any hoops first. Our trust and our hope is in Him. And guys, that's the good news. That's the gospel. He paid the price for us. He dealt with our sin. And He loves us so much that He's reaching out to us. And when you experience it, it goes from, I've heard about salvation before, Pastor. I spent years hearing about it. I grew up in the church with my mom when she could get me to go. When I wasn't sick or pretending to be sick or out and about. And then one time I heard the gospel and my heart was ready, my mind was ready. And all of a sudden, those words that seemed so familiar and empty were so true and close and personal and intimate and real and life-giving. And it's been a journey ever since. And many of you are on that journey too. And we're on it together. We're in the flock together. And praise God for that. But let's be looking... Let's be looking for those in our family here who have times where they're on their backs and their legs are up. And let's not just offer them ourselves and our help. Let's offer them love in Christ and the truth of God's love and the blessing that He gives and the encouragement to be just available to people as they reach out back to their Savior. And their Lord. We don't have to be in the valley anymore. God is the good shepherd. He's going to come get us. And we get to join Him and be dancing in the hands of the Father, of Christ. Feet up in the air, joyous. Joyous. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You that, Lord, that we can be real with You as David was real in the Psalm 23. Being real about how he felt and being in the valley and yet ending it in Your presence at the table. With the bounty and the joy. Lord, thank You that You don't leave us in the valley, that we don't walk there alone. But You go with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Father, I just pray during this time, Lord, that we would be real with You. In intimate ways, Lord, that we would, as we pray to You, we would pray openly and honestly. We wouldn't speak in Christianese to You, Lord, but we would share our hearts, our burdens, our lives with You. Father, thank You that You are good. Thank You that You are holy. We love You. We praise You. Bless us so that we can be a blessing to many. Give us that blessing of spiritual depth of love and humility so that we can reach out to others with Your truth in grace. Lord, thank You for this family. Unite us more and more for Your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Pastor Matthew.